We read this morning the Holy Scriptures in Revelation chapter 22, the last book in the Bible. Our meditation before coming to the Lord's Supper will be the second part of verse 17. Reading now God's Word in Revelation chapter 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign for ever and ever. And he said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the saying of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. And he saith unto me, Seal not the saying of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to eat, right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates of the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. This morning, let's look at the second part of verse 17. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Beloved, notice with me that the first part of verse 17 is the beautiful response of the church and each individual believer to Jesus' promise, "Behold, I come quickly." The Lord said that in verse 7, "Behold, I come quickly." Again, verse 12, "Behold, I come quickly." That word and promise of Christ has awakened in the church, the bride of Christ, and has stirred in the heart of every believer in that church so that they respond to him. We respond to him and say, "Come, come." That's the first part of verse 17. The Spirit and the bride say, "Come." The Spirit and the bride are not two, but are the Spirit within the church. The bride is the church. The Spirit who creates within us as the bride of Christ this morning a desire of love for our Lord Jesus Christ to come upon the clouds of glory at the end of the world. He has said, "I'm coming quickly," and his wife, us, the church, must respond to him, "Come, Lord Jesus." Even so, come quickly. Verse 22, we repeat it. He says, "I come." Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Then we read the first part of verse 17, "And let him that heareth say, Come." That is, "Come, Lord Jesus." There, the reference is not to the church as a body, as a bride, but there, the reference is to the individual believer who hears, whose ear has been opened. Every child of God who has heard the gospel of Jesus Christ says, "Come." Note, though, it is a little different. When it comes to the church, it's spontaneous. The Spirit and the bride say, "Come, Lord." When it comes to the individual believer that hears, it's a little different. And let him that heareth say, "Come." The church did not need to be encouraged to say this. She said it, "Come." But let him that heareth say, "Come." We need to be encouraged as individual believers to say, "Come, Lord Jesus." Because as individual believers, though we have heard the gospel, we become so enamored with all the things of this life, we constantly want to be in touch, more in touch with this world. We don't think of his coming. When we think of future, we think of jobs and of college and of marriage and of a second home and of retirement. Let him who has heard the gospel this morning, that Jesus is coming, let him say, "Come." You must be saying today, and I must be saying, "Come." But now note with me in verse 17b, Revelation 22, 17b, the second part of the text, which is our text this morning. Note there that things have turned around. The first part of the verse, we are calling to Jesus, "Come." The second part of the verse is Jesus responding to us and saying, "You come. You come to me. Right now, are you athirst? Do you will to come to me? Come to me, that you may drink of the water of life." Note with me that it is Christ who is calling us to come to him in the second part of verse 17. Look at verse 16. Jesus is speaking. "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel." Look at verse 18. "For I testify," I believe that's again not John, but Jesus Jesus is testifying. And so the sum of the verse is this. The church and the believer hears Jesus say, I'm coming quickly. And we say, come, Lord. And he responds this morning. And he says, you come to me. You come to me through the Word. You come to me now through the sacrament. You come to me while you wait for me to come. While you wait, come to me. For I have the water of life. I have the power of grace. I am the one who is able to sustain you and keep you while you wait for me to come. He says this morning, right now, come to the water of life. Note that Jesus' call here then is first of all addressed to particular persons. Although the call of Jesus to come to him and to come to the waters is public, it's here in the Bible. Wherever the Bible goes, it's there. In fact, Jesus has said that this call to come to him must be preached publicly, worldwide. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. But though the call is public, the ones being addressed are particular. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Now, when Jesus makes this call, and he says especially, whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Is this contradicting then the truth of the scriptures of God's sovereign grace? Is Jesus making the coming to him hinge upon the will of the sinner? Is he making it hinge upon the choice of the sinner? Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Do we not read in Romans 9, 15 and 16 that coming to Jesus does not hinge upon the will of the sinner, but it hinges upon a sovereign and eternal choice of God? Romans 9, 15. I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but it is of God who shows the mercy. Well, now, which is it? What is it? Is it God's will, which brings us to Jesus? Or is it the sinner's will that brings us to Jesus? The answer, beloved, is not a conundrum, is not an inconsistency, but is very simple. Straightforward. Let us give glory to God. The thirsting, you that are athirst, come, and the willing, whosoever will, take hold of the water of life. This thirsting and this willing is the precious gift of God's grace in the heart of each one that he has known eternally, brings to life, and works in them by the Spirit through the gospel. Eternal life. The will. Whosoever will, let him take hold of this water. That will, that desiring, that yearning, that thirsting, a thirst for Christ, is not, the answer is simply this, all of that is not the product, nor could it ever be the product of the human will, but all of this is the gift of the Spirit who is given to the church, the Spirit and the bride. If the will that is being appealed to here, whosoever will, if that will is the human will of the fallen sinner. If that's our own will, and Christ is standing at the sacrament, and Christ is standing in the preaching, and he's standing throughout the ages and saying, please choose me of your own will. I can't force you to choose me. You are able to hold me at bay. If that's the case, then not one person will ever drink of the water of life freely. We will not drink. The waters of eternal life can be flowing right beside our home. It can be like a river flowing right through a city, flowing right out there. And we will not come, and we will not drink. If the call of Jesus comes, hinges upon the depraved will of a fallen sinner, none will come. And his house this morning will be empty. Jesus said, John 6:44, no man can come to me except my Father who has sent me draw him. Can, ability. He said it this way in John 5:40, and you will not, you choose not to come to me. You will not come to me that ye might have life. It is a sovereign, gracious, powerful will of God working in our hearts through the Word and through the covenant of God to give us a desire. The work of the Holy Spirit in you is to give you a desire to come. Philippians 2:13-14. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God works in you. Psalm 110:3, speaking of Christ, thy people shall be made willing in the day of thy power. Isaiah 26:13, O Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou hast wrought, that is, thou hast performed all our works in us. We work them. We do them. Work out your salvation. But it is God who is working in us to do them. 1 Corinthians 15:10. Listen carefully. Paul's confession. For by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not bestowed in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. We give glory to God. The whosoever will is particular. The call is particular, but the call is irresistible. When Jesus says, you this morning who are athirst, and whosoever here wills, desires, let him come. Let him take hold of the water of life eternal. That call of Jesus is a call which is able, efficacious. We use the word efficacious because the Bible teaches us his voice and the power of Jesus is able to accomplish exactly what he wants done. When Jesus speaks to you in his grace, you will want to come. You will desire. to come to him. No man speaks like this man. When his spirit is working in you, and he says, come to me, all ye that are athirst, all ye that labor, then the result of his mighty grace is not, so to speak, as if his grace reaches down and grabs you by the hair or by the back of the neck and he drags you and you are kicking and screaming all the way. No. He makes us desire to come. He gives us the words, Lord, to whom can we go but unto thee, for thou hast the words of eternal life. His call is powerful. He says, let him that is athirst come. And so coming to Jesus is like a thirsty man coming to water. A thirsty man in the desert doesn't come to water nonchalant. He comes with every impulse of his entire being. He must come to that water. So the call of Jesus Christ, you that are athirst, and that athirst refers to you who desire the knowledge of God. We sang from Psalm 63, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee as in a dry and a thirsty land. When we are called those who are athirst, we are given then to know by grace that this whole world and everything in it has absolutely nothing for my soul. And it's only God who can give me that refreshment. And still more, to be athirst in the scripture is also to know the barrenness and to be dried out and empty because of one's sins. Jesus said, blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. We're thirsting for righteousness in Christ because we don't have any. I'm not righteous. My sin has dried and emptied and ruined everything. And I thirst for him. Jesus calls particular and powerful right now to this sacrament and says, come to me. Come to me. You who are athirst, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. That water of life very quickly is a river. And at verse 1, we're told that that pure river proceeds from the throne of God. And so, very briefly then, this river to which we are summoned to come, this water of life, is, first of all, God's grace. We come to receive God's grace, that unmerited favor of God in Jesus Christ, to receive that grace that is in Jesus Christ, to drink of that grace, that never failing river of God's mercy and grace, a river that flows and flows and flows, and no matter how many of God's children drink of that, the level never goes down. Throughout the ages, all of God's children have drunk of that grace, that fountain. Prophet Zechariah says, a fountain will be opened in the last day to the house of David for cleansing and for sin. And every sinner, by God's grace, who has drunk of that fountain of God's grace in the cross of Jesus Christ, has received a full washing and cleansing of all of his sins, and the water in that river has not gone down. But more, that river of water is Jesus Christ himself. It is Christ as he is as he comes to us this morning in this sacrament, through the bread and wine by the Holy Spirit in our hearts. The water that we receive is Christ himself. John 7, verse 37, in the last day, that is in the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as saith the scripture, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." So to come to Christ is to be given that faith whereby we find in Christ, united to Christ, forgiveness, peace, favor, satisfaction, all that I need for my salvation. Come, take the water of life freely through the God-given faith that you have. Take it. You shall receive through that bread and wine, through the promise of God in the bread and the wine, through the presence of the Savior, you will receive assurance of the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive grace. You shall receive refreshment. Drink. Drink freely. Let him take the water of life freely. That simply means you cannot pay. You cannot buy this water. You have nothing to pay for it. You must come with nothing. You must come with nothing in your hands. The worthiness must be grace in Christ alone. Don't look for any worthiness in yourself by which you could be accepted of God. Isaiah 55, verse 1, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come. Yea, buy, eat, and drink without money and without price." What would you think, boys and girls, of a person who comes to the Lord's Supper this morning and wants to have the bread and wine? And says to the elders, "I'll pay for it. I'll pay for the privilege. I'll put my money right down at that table so that I can have the bread and wine." What would you think of that? Then we'd have to teach him. But if anybody was sincere about that, saying, "Yeah, I can come to this table. I live a pretty good life. I'm certainly better than somebody else. Here, let me put down my money. Now give it to me. I'm better." If we would be so dramatic as, that's what we're saying, but if we would be so dramatic as to open our wallet and put the money down, that would be blasphemy. The greatest blasphemy, for this is something we don't deserve and we can't buy, and there's nothing in us of ourselves. There's no currency in our works. We don't have any money. It's free. It was paid for in the blood of Jesus. It was given from the throne of God, out of that heart of God, which is flowing with waters of grace. Come, eat, drink, and be assured that Jesus Christ, your Savior, is all you need, perfect satisfaction. drink of the water, of which if you drink, you will never thirst again. Amen. We thank thee, Father. We thank thee for the word. We thank thee for the sacrament. Now bring our hearts in that love and humility to receive from him the assurance of pardon and the renewal of our faith as we eat and drink in remembrance of him. Amen.